couple of days ago, the city of Boston had an outdoor celebration. Fans of the New England Patriots, Super Bowl champions, gathered together for a victory parade through the downtown streets. Thousands did this in spite of what I imagine was colder weather, because they wanted not only to honor the team that they followed so closely, but join in the thrill of it, join in the celebration of that victory. It's an image for us to keep in mind as we look at something, hear about something much more important. The words of Colossians 1, describing Jesus, the greatest champion there ever will be. Starting at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. In other words, Jesus is number one. You will agree with that, I hope. I believe that Jesus is number one because he is the best at everything he does. As the text laid out in some detail, he is number one in the work of creation. He made all things in the beginning, from big to small, from the majestic mountain ranges and massive oceans all the way down to the microscopic molecules. Everything visible, everything invisible, and he made all things well. He is especially number one in the work of salvation. In fact, he's in the category all by himself. Only he, as the God-man, could be the substitute who would save people, us, from sin and death. And unlike the sports champion bringing a mere trophy back to the hometown fans, Jesus has won for us the prize of eternal life. Christ is number one, even if people don't agree, or they fail to realize why it's true. Christ is number one, even when his followers, his fans, if you will, you and I, fail to give him the number one spot in our hearts and our lives. It's a reason among many why we gather so often for devotion and worship, for church and for chapel. Through our various sins, and in many ways, we have taken Jesus off of the pedestal and out of the spotlight. We need the help of God's Word to put him back where he belongs, on that pedestal in your heart, and into the limelight of our devotion, our appreciation, and let's not forget, our celebration of victory. When Jesus goes first, we get to follow behind in a very good spot, even better than a box seat at the stadium. Through the window of the Bible, we get to watch the Lord in action as he does amazing things for our benefit and for his glory. When you learn to put Jesus first like that, you're acting, in a way, like the devoted fan. As fans of certain sports, we know how to get excited about the amazing play. We even jump out of our seats at the television or at the game itself when the savvy quarterback runs the two-minute drill and finishes off the come-from-behind victory. Or think of the buzzer beater launched from half court to win the game in triple overtime. Can't we learn to be even more captivated and more impressed, perpetually so, when we have the gospel of Christ as the focus of our attention? We are talking about life and death, after all, not some game or form of entertainment. Look at the perfect record Jesus had. Not one sin in 30-some years of living in a harsh world. And to think he gave that to you so that his perfect record is your righteousness. No sports champion could do that for the fans. Look also at the innocent, agonizing death on the cross. What a sacrifice. And to think that to this day, from God's point of view, it counts as your death. The payment of your sin already made. The certainty of God's forgiveness. Don't overlook what happened a few days after. The empty tomb, evidence of the Savior risen, and also a reason for you to expect the same thing for yourself one day. Glorious resurrection from death. Yes, by all means, be a very big and constant fan of the gospel, and you will see the greatest winning streak ever. The only victory that does not fade over time but gets greater once you hit Judgment Day. The only victory that has changed your life and mine now in a profound way, the greatest way possible. Can you imagine if our worship, in some respects, took on the form of a pep rally? We gather together and chant in unison, Christ is number one. I am not suggesting that we do that, because we already are doing that in our liturgy. As we sing, for example, All Glory Be to God on High. It's the chant of the church down through the ages. And we've made it our victory celebration too. God is number one. Christ is number one. And not just in Christian worship. You make him number one by turning to his word in private, or giving it your undivided attention in religion class or Bible class, because you know that's your Savior meeting with you. Your champion is talking to you in a very important way. Make him number one by trusting what he tells you, because you know that when it comes to promises kept, assurances given, benefits for the soul, Jesus bats 1,000. Never a swing and a miss on his part. Make him number one in your prayers and your daily life as you seek his will, follow his directions, as you repent of your sins, cling to his mercy, and live under his blessing. Certainly the Lord, time and again, will step in and help us with this, get our focus back where it needs to be, so that we see him and we treat him more and more as our number one. Amen. We close our worship this morning singing hymn 744, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.